Take your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, we're for the month of April. We're looking at, now, last week we looked at Acts 3:19 and we took the verse and we doctrinally looked at it. And it here, let's read Acts 3:19 and then I'll give you a small introduction here. Ready? It says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And remember, that word "when" is only found in your King James Bible. All other Bibles take it out. So it reads like that your sins may be blotted out the times of refreshing. So it takes away the doctrinal application to Israel, because who's a person in Acts 3 gets healed, the lame man, and "silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." They're in the temple. There's no Gentiles allowed. The only people that are being preached to in the book of Acts until you get to chapter 8 are Jews, right? That's the only people. That's all going to change here. But in Acts 3, Peter is preaching to Jews, and he said, "You all crucified the Messiah, but if you would accept him, your sins could be blotted out, and you could experience a time of refreshing, and he could reign now." Well, we know that they rejected Jesus, and this is where we're at. We're in the church age. Last week, we showed you the doctrinal meaning of the passage. And I think that's so important. If I can teach you as you read your Bible to analyze and think. Some people just grab a verse and run. And I know Spurgeon said, "I just grab a text and run to the cross." Well, sort of, okay? I think you need, we have a lot of false doctrine being taught. YouTube has stuff. The internet's filled with teaching that is so messed up, from flat earth to mid-tribulation to no rapture to all this stuff. Everything that you're taught that's basics. And the reason is because of how they read the Bible. They're not doctrinally reading it. They're just grabbing pieces and running. Okay? So, last week we hit the doctrinal area and we showed you that the times of refreshing is in reference to the Jews when Jesus reigns. Here we go. Over here, on this board, I know there's a lot of stuff, okay? If you did not know doctrinally all that it's applying to, there is doctrinal reading your Bible. And what is the passage talking about, and what is it teaching, and who is it written to, and how does it apply? Then, watch this. There's also devotional reading, which means, look, just because a passage is dealing with Israel doesn't mean I can't pull truths out of it, and the Holy Spirit can't speak to my heart from it. Those are called devotional truths. But I think what we're watching happen in churches is people, the doctrinal part is not being taught, just devotional things are being taught. And it's causing a weakness to where people can't put things together, okay? So, we've already hit the doctrinal thing last week, tried to touch on it with you, and I knew it'd be I think we made it halfway through. This week, I want to take a topic because, and here's what I did. And these are all on the auditorium graphics, okay? If you read the verse and you said, "What is refreshing that comes from the Lord?" Okay? What is a refreshing that God gives? Okay? I started thinking of, well, what is refreshing? And I came up with devotional topics like Christian fellowship. It's refreshing when you get around people that love the Lord, right? And they're glad they're saved, and they're glad they're not dying and going to hell anymore. And there's that's refreshing. Forgiveness of sin is refreshing. And this is what we're going to cover this morning. Being thankful and thankfulness. Making yourself be thankful can change your attitude so quick. Amen. And help you so fast. If you can just quit griping and be thankful for what God's done. It's a refreshing. And then there's the Word of God. The Bible should be, I would hope, refreshing as you read it. And there's obedience, your obedience to the Lord when you get to do what God told you to do. That's a refreshing. And rest. Are there more things in the Bible that are refreshing? Yes. But there's only so many weeks in April. Amen. That was a joke. I wish you'd have heard that. Okay. So here we go. Let's take a devotional truth from Acts 3:19. We've looked at it doctrinally. We understand how it applies and what God's talking about. Now, what else does it apply to? And if you just read Acts 3:19, read it one more time with me. Repent ye therefore and be converted, and that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And I would think if you couldn't put Israel in that verse because, you know, you hadn't been taught that, one of the first things that would come to your mind is, when God saved you and forgave you of all your sins, that was supposed to be a refreshing, rejoicing time, right? And that is a refreshment that comes from the Lord. If you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, the second most read book in the world, the Bible is the most read, but Pilgrim's Progress is second read. What did Pilgrim say? He said, I had this burden on my back, and it was the burden of his sins that he carried until he finally knelt at the cross, and then that burden of sin rolled off his back and rolled down the hill. Well, that would be a refreshment, right? So, when you're thinking about this, we're in Acts 3:19. Go to Acts 10:43, right? Acts chapter 10, and look at verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. What does the word remission mean? It means to be let go. Okay, let's go back to forgiveness. What does the word forgiveness mean? It means, the word forgiveness means to send away. In reference to the scapegoat, they'd bring a goat and that goat would get slain and the blood and the priest would confess his sins on that one. And then the sins of the people, the other goat, had a red string tied around its horns. And that's where we get the word scapegoat, right? And then the priest would lay his hand on that and confess the sins of the people. And then that goat was led away in the wilderness by the other priest to never return. And that's where we get the word scapegoat, but the word forgiveness means to send away, to never return. All right? Then, the word forgiveness, it means completely canceled. It means paid in full, no debt. So, when Jesus, now think about this, when you believed on Jesus Christ, God forgave your sins. He sent your sins away. He completely canceled them, and he paid your debt. Christ paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone, right? That's it. Christ paid a debt. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. Jesus paid it for me. Forgiveness. Now, I think in the Christian life, if you can wrap your head around forgiveness, you'll have something to praise God for every day. And if you ever get in the mully grubs and if Christianity ever gets boring to you, you lost sight of what you've been forgiven of. All right? Because think with me just for a second. By him that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Go to Acts 13:39. Turn over a couple of chapters there. Acts 13:39. And by him, by Jesus. Well, here, start at verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, colon. And by him, by Jesus, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified or saved by the law of Moses. Wow. So, all that All that believe are justified from all things. This is just absolutely amazing. Your sin, the only reason you get numb to this is because you think your sins aren't so bad. And when you compare your sins to other people's, well, I'm not no Osama bin Laden, or I'm not no Hitler that killed 6 million Jews. Okay, people aren't the standard. God's holiness is the standard. And anytime you compare yourself with somebody else, there's always somebody that's worse than you, right? But God says you're not supposed to compare yourself to others. We're supposed to, God's holiness set the standard that none of us could reach. None of us could ever be. We've all come short of the glory of God, no matter how hard we try. So think about all your sins being forgiven. Just think about one day. You mean every thought, everything you did wrong is all gone. Everything you did in a week. Everything you did. Now think of a month. If you've been with me when I've led people to the Lord, I've said, would you say 3 sins a day would make a good day for you? Most would. If you only sinned 3 times. Well, if you only sin 3 times a day in a year, that's 1,000 sins, right? And so one person I led to the Lord, you've heard me do this. I said, so how old are you? And they'll say, 33. And I'll say, so if you died with your sins on your record and every day was a good day, you'd have 33,000 sins on your record. Well, I never thought about it that way. Well, Christian, this morning we're going to look at when you trusted Jesus, he canceled your debt. He put all of your sins on his account. He forgave you and sent away all of your sins. And watch this. Here's what's beautiful. Ready? It's wonderful to wrap your head around this. You have birth, okay, right here. You have salvation when you got saved, whatever date this was, okay? And then you have death, your physical death. When you trusted Jesus, whatever age that was, I was 20 years old when I got saved. Some were 5 years old when they got saved. Some were 12. But when you trusted Jesus, think, Jesus died for all the sins you would ever commit before you were born. That's why he bore the sins of all creation. That's why he cried out, Father, right? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was becoming the sins of all mankind when he was on the cross. So watch this. Now apply this to you and me. When Jesus died for you, you hadn't even been born yet. So not only did he die for all the sins that you've done in your past, from here to the time of birth, but he also died for every sin you'll do tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. That's why there's nothing you can do that will take you to hell now, once you're saved. It was all paid for 2,000 years ago when Jesus died for you and you accepted him as your Savior. That's why I don't understand how churches can teach, well, now that you're saved, all these sins are paid for, but tomorrow or next week, if you do any sins, you'll go back to hell. That doesn't make any sense. Jesus died for everything you've done and everything you will do. Amen? That's why in the New Testament, here, take your Bible and go to, in the New Testament, you were in Acts, go to 1 John, back there near Revelation. Go to 1 John chapter 1. That's why 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 7. If we walk, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. In the Old Testament, sin was covered because it hadn't been paid for yet. They were sacrificing sheep and bullocks and pigeons and goats. But in the New Testament, when you got saved, your sins aren't covered. They're washed. They're washed as if you'd never sinned, with no stain. Glory to God. It's gone. That's why our salvation is much more enjoyable than they did. We experience things now that they couldn't experience in the Old Testament. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. How do you get that blood applied to your heart? By placing your faith in Jesus. You trust His blood that it washes away your sin because of what He did for you on Calvary. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It's sad when somebody thinks their sin isn't so bad that they need to get saved. And that's why they don't get saved. Because they think, well, I'm not as bad as them. No, you need to get saved because of if you only sinned one time, which you didn't, Jesus didn't die for what you did. He died for what you are. You didn't become a sinner the first time you did something wrong. You did something wrong because you were born a sinner. A dog doesn't become a dog the first time it barks. It barks because it's a dog. Amen? Okay? Same illustration. All right? And if you say you have no sin or you're not that bad, that makes you worse. You're deceiving yourself. Right? How many times have you heard people say, oh, I got it. My church is good enough. You're worse. Because you don't think you're that bad. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Notice this, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When do you experience God's forgiveness? Well, salvation. But when you confess your sin, you enjoy God's forgiveness. That's why you're supposed to tell God you're sorry. But we don't ask God for forgiveness. We were forgiven when we trusted Jesus on Calvary, right? What does God say? In other words, if you're saved, we don't go around, well, tonight I need to pray and I've sinned today and I need to ask God to forgive me for my sins. You were already forgiven when you trusted Jesus. What does God say to do in the New Testament? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Confess means you own it and don't blame it on anybody else. God, I'm sorry. I did wrong when I thought, did, went, said, whatever it is He did. We confess our sins. We name it to God. And God said, God, what are you going to tell God that He doesn't know? Right? He already knew the sin you were going to do before you were born. Right? God's just waiting for us to admit that we need Him. Right? And that we did wrong. But is it forgiven? It's already forgiven. You just don't enjoy the forgiveness until you confess your fault, your sins. Right? And then, of course, the last verse there, verse number 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and that His word is not in us. So, what are we told as Christians to do in the New Testament with our sin? We're never told to ask for forgiveness. We're told to confess our sins. It's already been forgiven when Jesus died for you. You want to know it? This Bible study is so beautiful. Here, watch this. Go back to the Old Testament, fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy 15, verse 2. Watch this. And this will be another Bible study that we will not get all the way through. You'll need it. Yeah. When do we ever make? Deuteronomy 15, verse 2. Watch this. Now, remember, the word forgiveness means to send away, to never return, to completely cancel, and to pay the debt. Okay? To cancel the debt. With that in mind, notice the word release. Deuteronomy 15, verse 1. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release, or a time when all debts are canceled, or a time of forgiveness. Watch. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall, there it is, release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release, or canceling of debt, or sending away, or release, or forgiveness. Right? Look at the next verse, verse 3. Of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release. Beautiful word. It's talking about canceling debt, forgiveness. And God says here, kind of you could say it's not the law of first mention, but now just think with me just for a second, and then we'll do a little bit more application here. Ready? I thought one of the neatest Bible studies that rejoiced my heart was, what does God do with your sin when he saves you? Amen. And when you start looking at all the phrases that God does when he saves you, Isaiah 38:17 says, God casts all of your sins behind his back. Okay? Then in Psalm 51 and Isaiah 43, God blots out your sins. Right? You ever seen him take a blotter and just blot it until you can't read it anymore? So your sins are cast away. They're blotted out. God says in Hebrews 10:17, he remembers no more. God, when God forgave you of your sin, he no longer recalls it. I preached a whole sermon one time on, and just a neat thought. Well, if you really forgive somebody, you'll forget. God's the only one that can forgive and forget. We can't forget. And people haunt themselves. Well, I guess I haven't really forgiven that person because I haven't forgotten what they did. God is the only one who can forget sin. We remember, okay? We cannot focus on it. It helps the memory to kind of fade, but we still have recollections of the wrong. Forgiveness is not the same as forgetting. Forgetting is something God does when he forgives you, when you trust Jesus as your Savior. Forgets your sins. Forgets. Then Psalm 103 says, our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. Never as far as the north is from the south. Right? Because if you're on the North Pole and you head south, eventually you'll quit going south and go north, right? But if you go east and you go west, you'll always be going those directions. It's one way of God said, I've cast your sins as far from you. It's one way of saying your sins are eternally gone, right? They're as far as the east is from the west. What a beautiful picture. 1 John 1:7, we read, Jesus cleansed you of all your sins, washed them with his blood. 1 John 3:5 says, God takes your sins away. Hebrews 9:26 says, he puts them away. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, he buries them. And in John 1:29, he bore your sins. Watch this. Go to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. In a study of forgiveness, forgiveness is supposed to be, wow, refreshing when God saves you, right? But I think after you get saved, you're supposed to enjoy that refreshment of God's forgiveness. To think, I used to be so filthy before I got saved, I couldn't pray. God says he won't hear the prayer, the prayer of the wicked is an abomination. And before you trust Jesus as your Savior, you can't even talk to God because God's angry with you because of your sin. And then when you get saved, now my sins are washed and I can talk to God anytime. I don't have to be in church. If I am, that's great. I can talk to him in my car. I can talk to him in my bedroom. I can talk to him out in the field. I have complete access to God because I'm clean. I'm washed. Wow. What a wonderful thought. Look at that. I love this verse, this story here. It starts over in verse 36, but we won't read the whole story. Verse 44, ready? Verse 47, I want you to think about. But look at verse 44, ready? And he turned to the woman. This prostitute comes into the house, and she weeps at Jesus' feet and washes her feet with tears and dries them with the hairs of her head. And Simon, the Pharisee, is sitting in the house going, if you knew who that woman was, you wouldn't even let her touch you. And Jesus said, you don't get it. Because watch, look what Jesus says to the Pharisee. Here's this woman weeping at Jesus' feet. And look at verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. What a beautiful statement. Watch verse 47. I'm sorry, verse 46. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Here we go. Ready? Verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, completely canceled, sent away to never return. Wow. For she loved much. Notice the last part of verse 47. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Forgiveness should always impress you. And if you find your love for Jesus waning, it's because you lost track of how much of a sinner you are. Well, I'm not that bad. I'm really pretty good. You know, I mean, once again, compared to others, and if you think God's only forgave you a little bit, then you love a little. But the reason your heart can overflow with love for Jesus is because he forgave you of all your sin. And if you can just keep that in view, that's why it's a beautiful Bible study that we're doing this morning as far as the refreshment of forgiveness. Watch this. Go to Matthew 18. Ready? Matthew 18. You're in Luke. Pastor Owens made a neat statement to me when he was here this week. He said they're doing Wednesday night Bible studies on forgiveness. He's doing a whole series. And he's done series on health and destructive behavior and separation and relationships. And he's done all types of wonderful Bible studies. But he said this study on forgiveness he's doing, he said, I have more material on forgiveness than I do all my other Bible studies. That's because forgiveness is such a big topic in the Bible, right? He said, for instance, we all know because we've been forgiven, we're supposed to forgive, right? So let's step into the realm of when somebody wrongs you, you know you're supposed to forgive them, but there's two types. There's people that will wrong you that will say they're sorry, right? And then there's people that will wrong you that won't say they're sorry. You're supposed to forgive both. But how you forgive both, it's a technique, amen? It's one thing to forgive somebody who says, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I messed up. I dropped the ball there. I am sorry. And I just, it won't happen again. And then it's another thing when somebody has wronged you and they won't say they're sorry. You're still supposed to forgive both. You're not supposed to not forgive somebody because they don't ask for forgiveness. Right? So it's a beautiful topic. Watch this. Look at how Jesus teaches here. Look at verse 21, Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him, to Jesus, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Now, think what Peter's doing here, okay? This is so funny. The law in the Old Testament said you're supposed to forgive people three times. So look what Peter did. He said, Lord, if somebody sins against me, how many times am I supposed to forgive them? Seven. He doubled it, right? And then added one. So he's thinking he's pretty good. The law said do it three times. He's thinking, go ahead, Lord. Careful, don't pat me on the back too much. I all the glory goes to the Lord, right? And Jesus is getting ready to floor Peter, right? Because Peter's thinking he's doing mighty fine. And look at verse 22. It says, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's 490 times, and nobody counts that much. Nobody, at most everybody goes, that's one, right? That's two, three strikes, you're out, right? Nobody goes, 450, you got 40 more to go. You know what Jesus was saying, 70 times 7? Quit counting. Quit having a debts payable account with every person you meet. Boy, that person right there, long time ago, they did me wrong. Now, that person over there, you stay away from them because everybody has an accounts payable with you. Cancel the debt. Let it go. When everybody you see reminds you of something they've done wrong to you, right? Jesus said, you can't be happy that way. Nobody is. Nobody can be happy. Now, Jesus also didn't say if someone hates your guts and said if you get in their space again, they're going to try to kill you. Jesus didn't say, I forget. Okay, you understand there is self-protection. Okay, so don't take it that far. However, this is, now look at the story Jesus gives to give this picture. Watch this. I love this. And therefore, because of what he just taught in verses 21 and 22, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. It doesn't say a talent of gold or a talent of silver. If it was a talent of gold, it was 300 million that he owed. If it was a talent of silver, it was 20 million. Who cares? All right? That's a bunch of money if it's the smallest amount. If it was a Roman talent, it was a million. Okay, that's still out of my range, right? Everybody, 10,000 talents are owed by this person. And watch this. And verse 25, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. That's how you got saved, right? You asked Jesus to save you, right? Verse 28. Watch here. Now it gets heartbreaking. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. In your Bible, you should have written, okay, 3 pence is a penny. If it was 100 pence, you're probably looking at 17 cents. If you want to go a little bit more, move the decimal point, $1.70. Here, move it one more point, 17 bucks. Who cares? 100 pence. He went out and found somebody. He owed what? At the smallest denomination, a million. Most would say $20 million compared to 17 bucks. Okay? And he goes out, notice this, so he finds somebody that owes him a small amount, and then watch what he does. It says here, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Took him by the throat. And his fellow servant, the one that owed him 100 pence, fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, same words he said, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. You know, when fellow servants, when other Christians watch Christians not forgive, it's sorrowful. It's like, wow, that person is living in bitterness and they won't forgive. What is prolonged unforgiveness? Bitterness. And bitterness destroys the vessel in which it is stored, never those on which it is poured. Right? So bitterness is like setting a time bomb ticker going. When his fellow servant saw that he'd taken this man by the throat and wouldn't forgive him the 17 and threw him in, they went and told, and I'm sure they're praying for them and just trying to get the application. Verse 32, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. That's how come God saved you, right? Because you found out he was the only one that could forgive your debt, and you called on his name. Then, shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? What is our basis of forgiving others? Jesus' forgiveness of me. Right? You can go through all the verses on forgiveness. But we're supposed to forgive others because, here we go, no one has ever mistreated me like I mistreated Jesus. And if I can just keep that in focus, the hardest things in the Christian life start with the letter F. Faith, trusting God, and not having an anxiety attack, and not having a nervous breakdown, and giving your problems to God and casting your care. That's hard. It's simple, but it's hard. And the other F word, forgiveness. It's simple, but it's hard. It's hard to wipe somebody's slate clean when they do you wrong. Now, we're told to do it. Notice what happens when you don't. And then we'll close with this. It says here, Verse 34, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. You know what causes torment in the Christian life? And you can't be refreshed, even though you're forgiven. You're delivered to torment and bitterness and anger and frustration when you don't forgive others. And you're tormented for the rest of your life. As a pastor, every once in a while, I'll watch somebody, and it's a unique study in your Bible. Bitterness removes judgment. It causes people to not be able to spiritually see. I can tell when somebody's bitter. And somebody goes, boy, what's wrong with them? I don't ever say, oh, they're bitter. But I can see it now, being in the ministry this long. When you don't forgive others, you're tormented for the rest of your life until you... what? Let it go. What a beautiful... your forgiveness is supposed to be refreshing because you trusted Jesus as your Savior and your sins are all gone. Don't mess it up by not forgiving others. Amen? Or you can't enjoy your forgiveness. Amen? And I think you for enjoying your forgiveness of sin is something you're supposed to relish in and enjoy every day. Thank God. My sins are all gone because I've trusted Jesus. I'll never die and go to hell. Amen. I hope that there's so much more. Take a picture of the board. You can take it home. God bless you, gang. We got to get this room ready for junior church. Let's take those tables back there and...